Let's talk a little bit about Clarence Thomas and the Supreme Court ethics oversight. Is Thomas in trouble? What do you make of all of that?
You know, I don't think Thomas himself is in trouble. The only way for a Supreme Court justice to leave the Supreme Court bench is either by dying, by resigning, or by being impeached and convicted by the Senate, which requires a two-thirds vote, and that ain't happening. And at the moment, he doesn't sound like a guy who's ready to retire, and he seems in pretty good health. So I don't. He personally is not, at the moment, in trouble, and he seems to be acting in a way that suggests that he feels like he is impervious to trouble. What is in very deep trouble is the Supreme Court's reputation with the country. It has been declining steadily since Bush versus Gore was perceived 23 years ago as just a blatantly partisan decision. And it's been declining ever since. And this wave of ethical problems for the court this spring, which are centered appropriately on Thomas and his relationship with the Republican mega donor Harlan Crow, those are dominating, but he's not the only one. There's a odd real estate transaction with Neil Gorsuch selling property to a prominent Washington lawyer, and there's the case of the Chief Justice's wife Jane making something like $10 million recruiting lawyers for firms that practice before the court. So this doesn't pass the smell test. And the simple solution that the court at this point sounds emphatically not going to make is for the court to formally adopt a code of ethics for itself with some means of enforcement and with some means of public sunshine as to, you know, the ethics that it's keeping, the financial dealings that it has, the reasons justices recuse themselves from cases or don't. And at the moment, the court is sort of giving the finger to that idea, and Republicans in mostly the Senate, which is where the most attention to this is being paid, are siding with them. And it's only the Democrats that are really making a lot of noise about moving legislation to make them have a code of conduct. Congress, it would be argued, could not write a code of conduct for the court. Because of separation of powers concerns,
right.
that the most that they could do is order the court to write one for itself. But the court doesn't seem to want to do that. And meantime, as I say, its reputation with the country is in the tank.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about Fox News and how it's doing and Dominion. What do you make of all of that?
Well, it's, you know, I think the all the cable news networks are in periods of transition. I think, you know, Fox, the settlement that it reached with Dominion means it's that News Corp is actually taking a quarterly loss. I mean, this amount of money that's a lot of money by in anybody's in any corporation's account sheet, the amount of money that Dominion has agreed to pay is something. And then the loss of Tucker Carlson, the decision to part ways with Tucker Carlson is huge. Their ratings overnight, the ratings for Fox in primetime plummeted. And even a video that Tucker Carlson posted, I guess it was on YouTube, I watched it or somewhere, that in the next couple of days got, you know, millions and millions of hits. Now it sounds like he and Elon Musk have cut a deal where Tucker Carlson, will do his shtick on Twitter. Fox is reeling. There are other conservative niche cable networks that are sort of nipping at its heels. And then you've got CNN, which seems to be making some effort to more consciously open itself up to the kinds of people who used to watch Fox. And CNN got a lot of grief a couple of days ago when it even agreed to host a town hall in New Hampshire for Donald Trump. There's a decent argument to be made that even giving a platform to Donald Trump like that is inappropriate, that somebody with Donald Trump's you know, record as a on and before January 6th, inside and outside of the Bergdorf Goodman dressing room with E. Jean Carroll, should not be given that kind of platform. But, you know, CNN says, look, the guy's the leading candidate for the Republican nomination. What are we supposed to do? And we're going to open up our stage to him. And Trump is cozying up to that. So it's you know, it is a story that changes every couple of months, that the way our news, the way the news business changes, the way the politics get covered in the news is in constant state of turmoil. So it'll probably change again.
Well, let's go very quickly then to Trump and Pence. Who's on first?
I think Mike Pence doesn't seem to know how he wants to run against Donald Trump. He seems to be, you know, it's a little bit like the old joke about, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think of the play? other than January 6th, where the president had a really, really bad day and made me mad and scared, says Mike Pence, he was a great president and we had a great administration. That seems like a weird way to run for president. I'm not sure it's going to work. I think that when we talked a couple of days ago, you know, asked me about the Republican field, and I didn't mention Mike Pence because I'm not sure he's going to be much of a thing. But again, lots can change. You know, Tim Scott, everybody who knows Tim Scott loves Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. He is the kind of person, as somebody who has been stuck in an elevator with him for maybe 5 minutes, he's an easy person to be stuck in an elevator with. He's charming. He's gentle. He brings he is conservative with a soft touch. Could he catch fire? Perhaps. Asa Hutchinson, we talked about before, also a soft guy. Could he catch fire? Perhaps. Nikki Haley doesn't seem to have caught fire after having tried to be the first one out of the gate. DeSantis, we're waiting on. Meanwhile, remembering that in the Republican math is, in these primaries, you just got to win a plurality and you win all the delegates from the state. So a plurality candidate like Donald Trump can become the nominee quite easily. And the bigger the field, the easier that is to happen for him.
Let's talk a little bit about Kamala Harris and her future. Is she in a position to take the marbles?
Well, she is in the position to take the marbles, right? There's only one of them. But as to your question, to me, the most notable thing about Joe Biden's video announcing for re-election was how many times Kamala Harris appeared in the video. I think it was 13 different shots of Kamala Harris in the Joe Biden re-election announcement video. The video closes with Biden-Harris 2024. So absolutely no doubt at this point that Joe Biden is going to run for re-election on the same ticket that he had in 2020. The vice president, has, you know, suffered lots of bad press. It's sort of an open secret in Washington that she's a bad boss and that she runs a dysfunctional office. But, you know, so do a lot of men. She's been given some difficult tasks by the president that she has not, you know, immigration, for example, that she's not been able to work wonders with. All that having been said, a lot of this sort of, oh, she's out of her depth and can't possibly hang on talk, seems to have faded around Washington in the last couple of months. And the attention doesn't seem to be, you know, on her so much. And of course, you know, the fact that she is a woman and a woman of color is hugely advantageous to her in wanting to stick on the ticket, and hugely advantageous to the Democratic Party and to Joe Biden by energizing black voters and women voters. You know, that's a strong calling card. Is she equipped to take all the marbles? You know, she was the Attorney General of California. She was the senator from California. She is a highly accomplished prosecutor. There have been plenty of presidents with sort of less obvious qualifications. So, you know, I would say she's now well positioned to hang on and stay as the person ready to take the marbles.
Our thanks to David Hawking, senior editor of The American Leader, formerly worked at The Fulcrum and CQ and Roll Call, really been around. Thanks so much, David. Always great to talk to you.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.